Well, if you haven't noticed, there is a theme to the evening, giving thanks. And the title of my message is no different, In Everything, Give Thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 says, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sometimes when I read that passage, I think, is the situation I am in the will of God, or is giving thanks the will of God? Well, hopefully by the end of my message, you'll know the answer. Being thankful is the will of God. I remember an illustration of a guy who would start the service every week by giving thanks to God. And there was always something that he found to give thanks for. And then one Sunday, it was a very cold, cold Sunday. They had contemplated canceling church, but decided whoever will come, and just a few people showed up. And there was a gentleman sitting in the pew and said to himself, surely there's nothing to be thankful for on this Sunday. And the man got up and he said, aren't you glad every Sunday isn't like this Sunday? There's always something to be thankful for. God wants us to be thankful. God wants us to be thankful for the work that He is doing in us. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Is God working in you? If you are of the redeemed, if you are saved, if you have received Christ as your Savior, the gospel says that He who began a good work in you will continue it. He is at work in you to do both to will and to do His good pleasure. And one of the things that He takes great pleasure in is the thankfulness of His people. Philippians 2, 14 through 18 Paul continues, says, Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. You know, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes we think of being thankful as when the good times, right? Boy, it's easy to be thankful when, you know, we got a lot of money in the bank and a lot of food on the table and life is just wonderful. Boy, it's easy to be thankful. But you know, Paul says here, I am being poured out as a drink offering. He thought he was about ready to die for his faith. And he said, I am being poured out as a drink offering in service of your faith. And he said, I rejoice. And I want you to rejoice with me. A lot of times in life, we have the wrong perspective of where we are and what is going on around us. Because in reality, there is a spiritual battle going on, and we are the light of the world. And it should not surprise us that we are surrounded by darkness. It should not surprise us when everywhere we look, there is evil and wickedness. And we should not be overcome by that. We should be thankful not only for the work that God is doing in us, but the work that God is doing through us. Because we are setting an example for the people. I was talking to a lady just the other day who had been struggling with depression. And struggling with, why do people do bad things? Why is there so much evil in the world? It's an important question. But just as important is to understand what's going on in the world. God is at work in the world. God is light. In Him there is no darkness. And we have a dark world and we are surrounded by evil. And so we should not be weary in well-doing when we see evil triumph. We must continue to trust God because we are in a spiritual battle. We must be attentive to our calling. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Paul is saying we must pay attention. We must be awake and observant as what's going on in this world. And we must be equipped with the spiritual armor, the spiritual tools that God has equipped us with through His Spirit. He calls out the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. What is this helmet, the hope of salvation? Philippians chapter 4. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We should not grow weary in doing good, but we must put our hope in God. The psalmist said, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. When we are surrounded with discouragement, we must look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we put our faith in Him, He guards our heart. The power of hope is demonstrated in this little story. A man approached a little league baseball game one afternoon, and he asked a boy in the dugout, and I could see this happening in Parkston here, what was the score? And the boy responded, 18-0. We're behind. Boy, the spectator said, I'll bet you're discouraged. Why should I be discouraged? Said the little boy. We haven't even got up to bat yet. The hope of salvation. But he also talks about the breastplate of faith and love. You see, hope is what we believe to be true. Faith is acting in accordance with our hope. Love is exercising our faith in a way that requires self-sacrifice. Hope is what we believe to be true, and faith is acting in accordance with our hope, and love is exercising our faith in a way that requires self-sacrifice. In our Christian walk, we can become discouraged by the evil in the world. But we must guard our heart against the attacks of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God is calling us to a different kind of service. Not a thanksgiving in what I have. Not a thanksgiving in what I've accumulated in. But a thanksgiving in who I am and the calling on my life. Now, what is the power of faith? Here's another little story that demonstrates the great power of faith. There was a school system in a large city that had a program. When children would go to the hospital, they would send somebody into from the school to the hospital to help those kids with their work so they didn't fall behind. One day, a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call asking her to visit a particular child. She took down the child's name and room number, and she talked briefly with the child's teacher, who said they were studying nouns and adverbs in class. She said, "I'd be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall far behind." The hospital program teacher went to see that boy. No one mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in great pain. Upset at the sight of the boy, she stammered as she told him, "I've been sent to you here by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs." And when she left, she felt like she hadn't accomplished much. But the next day, the nurse asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" And the teacher felt she must have done something wrong and began to apologize. The nurse said, No, you don't understand. We've been worried about that little boy, but ever since yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to his treatment. It's as though he's decided to live." 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until the teacher arrived. And everything changed when he came to a simple realization. And he expressed it this way: "They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they?" That is the power of faith. When we take our hope and we put it into action, that is faith. And it guards our heart. Now, we must give thanks, not only because God is working in us and through us, but He is working to turn our evil into good. That's an amazing thing about God. As hard as I try as a father, the best I do is try to keep my children from evil, to try to separate them from the evil. But our Heavenly Father is an amazing God. And He takes the evil that we get into and He turns it around and He uses it for our good. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." God is sovereign in our suffering. And He is working through our suffering to produce hope in us. And we do not have to be overcome by the evil, but instead, He calls us to overcome. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That's an amazing illustration. If you ever take a flashlight outside at night and see if you can get the darkness to overcome your light. You won't be able to do it. Light is more powerful than darkness. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." What an amazing truth. Even as we walk through this world, the trials, the struggles, the tribulations, the frustrations, Thanksgiving dinner, we can have a good attitude. Because all of that is for naught. God has overcome all of our problems. 2 Corinthians 4:8-10 says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." God is working within us through our pain, through our suffering, through the good and through the bad, to make us into the image of His Son. He is working for our good. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And finally, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Charles Spurgeon had a plaque with Isaiah 48:10 in his room. It says, "I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. Diamonds are formed under great pressure and heat. If these conditions do not exist, they are simply not formed. It is not that they will be of low quality or small in size. They will not form. And when He sees our lack of character, God brings in His refining fire into our lives to create in us what He sees fit. He will bring into our lives what we need. So the next time a fiery trial comes, thank God, He is producing exactly what He knows you need in your life. The only difference between a diamond and a piece of coal is pressure. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You are an amazing God, that You can take us, fallen humans, us, who continually choose and get distracted to do the wrong thing, when You have called us for such a great, wonderful calling, to be a light in this world, to give hope to those who are hopeless. God, You are an amazing God. Help us to be mindful. Help us to pay attention to what is going on around us. Help us to be Your hands and feet in this community. Help us to give thanks, not just for what we have, but for what You're doing in our heart, for what You're doing through us to the people around us, that You're taking Your love and pouring it into our cup to where it overflows and flows out to those around us. God, You are sovereign over us. In all of our suffering, in all of our good times, bad times, whatever it may be, but we also have that choice. Whether we follow You, whether we pay attention, or whether we watch those blessings slip on by, because we're too distracted with the cares of today. Help us not to do that, Lord. Have Your Spirit charge us and prick our hearts to always be mindful, to remember those around us, but most importantly, to remember You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.